thank you to the ushers, and it's wonderful that we can partake in communion together. Bless you. It's good to see you folks. There's a challenge in this church this morning. There's so many empty seats. Let's trust the Lord to fix that. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you also, if you didn't plan, I know you've got nothing special on today. I know. So make it special and join us for the year-end function at Family Fun Beach. It promises to be a good day. If you didn't plan for it, then change your plans. Make the effort. Get out there. It's going to be fun. If you've never been there, it's great. And if you have been there before, what makes it even more special is you. So please, we make an appeal. Come and join us. It is the church's year-end function. So make the effort. If you're afraid of the sun, wear a hat or a long sleeve top or sunblock or doen iets, but daag net op. Dit sal awesome wees om julle daarso te sien. Hallelujah. Okay. This morning's message is entitled Value. And I thought there would be first-time visitors here today, but I understand there are no first-time visitors. Is that correct? Okay. So dan en nou dan hoef ek myself nie verder te regverdig oor wat ons dan gaan bespreek vandag nie, maar anyway, hier gaat ons. The scripture that I'd like to share to lay the foundation for what we're speaking about this morning is from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21. It reads as follows: wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to gather together around your word like this. We never take it for granted. It is a huge privilege. And today I want to be the first to say, Lord, we acknowledge our dependency upon you. I've got no fancy preek that can change a person's life. I've got nothing clever to say that can make a difference to anybody. But when we read your word, Holy Spirit, we trust that you will move and that you will change our hearts. We thank you, mighty God, that you're watching over your word to perform it and achieve the purposes for which you send it forth, and will reap a harvest of God-glorifying change in our lives in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Questions that I'd like us to ask ourselves this morning is the following. And when Rose was mentioning it, I got so excited because she didn't have a cooking clue what the Lord had laid on my heart to speak about. And it's nice when God confirms his word. When Rose says about when there's emptiness in your life because of lack of fellowship, how much value do we really place on the corporate fellowship that we enjoy? Do we really, really enjoy it? Don't give me an answer. I'm not impressed with you this morning. See, it's just for you to ask that question. How much value do you place on the corporate fellowship that we enjoy? Another question that we should ask ourselves is, when you miss church, do you miss church? When you miss church, do you miss church? Do we really value that fellowship and worship that we have here on Sundays? Do we value it? And are we willing to invest into it? Think about that. Are you willing to invest into it? Make an effort to ensure that it continues. In the light of how COVID has changed things, where we're doing things online and Zoom meetings and virtual church and this and that, and it's great and it's wonderful and it has its place, much has been said about armchair church and how I can be fed at home by watching something online. But brothers and sisters, absolutely nothing can take the place of corporate worship and fellowship. There's something special about this. People say, I can sit at home and I can get fed. Yes, you can. But as members of the body of Christ, we're called to be participators and not consumers. We're called to be contributors and not just consumers. Just take, instead of giving and pouring out. God has deposited gifts and treasures inside each one of us so that each one of us in our own way can be a blessing to others. You cannot be a blessing to others when you're sitting on your couch at home with a packet of Lay's in the one hand and the remote in the other hand and you're watching whoever online. You can't. When you need somebody to speak into your life, to be quickened by the Spirit of God, to get a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge and edification and encouragement or chastisement, is your flat screen going to do that? Who's going to speak into your life? Sir, ma'am, you can't do it. When you need somebody to correct you in your ways, and then who are you? You're going to go lay hands on your TV and pray that you get the premium package of DSTV or Netflix and Showmax and I don't know whatever's out there. Can you do that? There's only so much that that can do. And please, we are also online, so I'm not knocking it. Maar dit kan nie net daar gelos word nie. Hello. We called to be contributors, participators, not consumers and spectators in the body of Christ. Where do we get that from? Omdat jy so sê, Mosie, wie dink jy is jy in elk geval omdat jy die mikrofoon het? Well, the Bible says so, beloved. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. Nou dat ek Nicolien so lach, sien lach, ek wil hulle net allemaal congratulate. For Eugene and Nicole, and Robert and Nicolene, for Ryan that's been added to our lives. Eugene and Nicole had their baby boy this week. We thank God for him blessing them with a wonderful, wonderful baby boy. Ephesians 4 and verse 16, it says he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part, everybody say each part. Does he know? As each part does its own. Say own. Say that's my special work. He puts us in the body that each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Now I want to play devil's advocate this morning and say, can we build each other up during fellowship when we're not in this building? Can we? Some saying no, some saying yes. Kan ons mekaar stig en opbou in ons samesyn waarin ons nie hier so is nie? Can we do that when we gather elsewhere? Natuurlijk kan ons. We can build each other up. But something special happens when we get together to worship here. To worship here, it's not only about us edifying and lifting each other up, it's about worshiping together. We should be worshippers behind closed doors in our prayer closets at home, but also here corporately. Because at the end of the day, nothing can make up for what takes place here on a Sunday. So, can we edify each other and build each other up when we're hanging together? Yes, we can. However, where does most of our corporate worship take place? Here. And then in the care groups, when we get together in the week, isn't it? When we worship and sing together. That's when most of our corporate worship takes place. It's in the context of this building. There's just no substitute for this corporate worship. So, now we're going to a different focus of this message called value. And this is going to make a fraud of your first-time visitors, is because when a first-time visitor comes to a place and the pastor who ever speaks about what we're going to speak about now, they think, oh, hier gaat hulle alweer. Dit is alweer een van die kerke. Maar prijs die Heere. Dit is nie een van die kerke nie. Hierdie is hierdie kerk. So, getting together in the context of our facilities has practical implications. And one of them is finances. Now, it's very quiet in the church here now. There were no amens, preach it, pastor. It just went quieter. In other words, it takes money to do so. So I want to share a little bit, if I may, about finances this morning, dear church, if that's okay. Please don't see this as some guy asking for money. Please don't do that. I pray that by the Spirit of God, God will help you to see this for what it is. It's simply a pastor appealing to family members in the body and asking each one of us to please do our share. Is that okay this morning? So moet asseblief nie dink nie. Daarom het ek gevra as hier first time visitors. Because a first time visitor daar gee op en waar oor praat hulle? Geld. Dis geld. geld. So, I just want to say this. Don't see it as a guy asking for money, but it's a pastor simply asking each family member. Ephesians 4 and verse 16, the B part in the New King James says, do their share. I'm just asking each person to do their share. And the negative effects of COVID has affected everybody's finances. I realize that. I'm not living in some ivory tower on a spiritual cloud playing a harp with the angels, thinking that everybody's finances has been affected. But do you think it's taken God by surprise? Do you think God is wondering, yes, what am I going to do to keep the churches running? Oh, how am I going to provide for my children when they're losing jobs and there's retrenchments and there's this and it's cut hours and reduced works, reduced weeks? And do you think God is thinking like that? It hasn't taken him by surprise. I understand that this COVID lockdown has affected everybody's finances, but understand that it affects the churches as well. Now, the good news is, we're in the good news business, is that this family, we have more than enough to meet our needs. We really do. We have an abundance of finances. That's the good news. But the bad news is it's still in your bank account. The bad news is it's still in your wallets. The bad news is the vast majority of the people in this body have not returned God's tithes to him. The bad news is the vast majority of people have not offered to God something out of their free will offerings. That's the bad news. So we're trusting God this morning that the Holy Spirit can change our hearts and our minds that we can do that. To those who are faithful, who are committed, and you realize you're not doing it to pay Mozzie's salary. Do I get a salary? Thank God I do. But it's not about that. It's, Lord, I'm honoring the systems and the principles that you have put in place in your word before there ever was a building in which to gather together corporately. God put these things in his place before we had the modern day church structures as we know it. You see, folks, at the end of the day, let's be real with each other. Churches fail. Ministers make mistakes. In the 30 odd years that I've been in ministry, but pastoring here for 17 years, I've made maybe one mistake, maybe two. Rarig, nee wat, heel wat. You just need to get to know me to realize how flawed I am. I'm a broken vessel like all of us that God is busy fixing one day at a time and one decision of obedience at a time. Ons, daar's rooi bloed in my are, julle. Dis nie net geestelike goeders hier binne, hoor. Ek struikel ook met issues en sulke goed. Okay, so churches fail. God gave us relationship to have with Jesus. Rome turned it into an institution. Europe turned it into a lifestyle. America turned it into an enterprise. God wants us to get back to relationship. That's what he's given us. So when it comes to the topic of finances, it's about relationship. It's not about die kerk sê. Of jy moet. Die mense watch jou. Sê of er aan die helmets deur verbykom en as bankrekening nommers op die weeklikse blaadjie en sulke goed. God gave us relationship. Rome turned it into an institution. Europe turned it into a culture. America turned it into an enterprise. God wants us to get back to relationship. Remember that song? I'm coming back to the heart of worship when it's all about you. It's all about you, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it when it's all about you. It's all about you. So the good news is we have more than enough to meet this family's needs. The bad news is it's still in your bank accounts. And it's time for that to change. Okay. Now, imagine the ship is in a storm and the hull of the ship has lots and lots of little holes in it. There's enough fingers for the family members of this team to put their fingers in the holes that's causing the water to come in and stop the ship from sinking. We just need to use our fingers and plug the holes that are in that ship to stop it from sinking. Can you see the picture that we're creating here at church? So what I'm trying to say in as pastoral a manner as I possibly can, the financial state of the church is critical. Are you familiar with the concept of life support? When I tell you it's critical. So that's where it is. But please don't think, oh, doom and gloom. I know that God brought us to this. God will get us through this. And by the grace of God, Bikers Church Vol Triangle will never suffer financial lack again, because God is God. The longevity and the success of this ministry has something to do with the obedience of people, but everything to do with God Almighty. And at the end of the day, God has got this, and He's in control. So the appeal this morning is that everybody's fingers gets used to plug those holes. So where we are now because of COVID means the water hasn't changed, the boat hasn't changed, but the storm has. Please don't look forward to the times when we get back to normal. This is the new normal. Things are never ever going to be the same again. Deal with it. Get used to it. We're in a new phase of life and doing church and financially, everything. It's all different in our hearts, our minds, naturally, physically, spiritually. Everything is different, and it's going to be different all the time. Get used to that. So I could stand here this morning and discuss scriptures that teach us that we're stealing from God if we don't return His tithes to Him. I'm not going to do that. I believe we hear enough of that. And some people would say, no, Mozzie, die mense moet het hoor. But I'm not going to do that. So a shepherd has a staff and he has a rod. I'm not using the rod this morning. A staff is to guide and correct people to the right place. And right there where you're seated, God is already speaking to several people where you know the areas in which you're being disobedient. And I want to encourage you this morning and not point a finger accusing you. That's the devil's job. The Spirit's job is to encourage us. So, we're not going to do that. We know we need to return God's tithes to Him, and we're called to give our free will offerings from our heart. So instead of thinking this morning, I'm giving of my finances, my prayer is that we think like this. I'm worshiping God with that which He's entrusted me with. What a difference. Instead of thinking, oh, I'm giving of my finances this morning. No, I'm worshiping God with what He has entrusted me with. What a difference. How do we worship God with finances? Who do need it? Well, you buy the most best and greatest, latest, fantastic thing for yourself, and then you can eat all. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes that there is nothing better under the sun than for a man to enjoy the fruit of his labor. Moenie nou jou hand opsteek nie, maar wie van julle werk hard? Blerrie hard. Blerrie is nie 'n vloekwoord nie. Dit bestaan nie in die woordeboek nie, so moet my nie beskuldig nie. Wie van julle werk blerrie hard? The Bible says there is nothing better under the sun than for a man to enjoy the fruit of his labor. So my brother, my sister, if you're faithful and you're hardworking and you're generous and you give and you're diligent and you plan and you think and you use what's between your two ears, go and get yourself that whatever. It's okay to do that. It's a lie where people think that Christians must suckle and just get by. We're the church, so kom ons vra, kom ons vra. Aren't we supposed to be the source of blessing? I said, aren't we supposed to be the source of blessing? I'm not saying the church is called to do charity and welfare. It's never part of God's plan to do that. Welfare is what crippled the Roman Empire. The strongest institution in the history of the known world at the time. When welfare came in, it was crippled. Welfare rewards people for doing nothing. That's welfare. That's not what the church is called to do. The church is called to take care of widows and orphans in their time of need. True widows, true orphans in their time of need. That's what the church's finances are called to do. And obviously carry on with the daily running costs of the buildings, etc., and staff and that kind of thing. But so it's not about I'm giving of my finances. I'm worshiping God with that which He's entrusted to me. So how do we do that with finances? Proverbs 3 and verse 9, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the best part of everything you produce. Zelda was sharing with me in the pre-service prayer meeting this morning how God confirmed. She was praying with this thing. I got it a week ago, so later night. Pray for the church's finances. Pray for the church's finances. And the Lord laid this note. Sê vir die mense, jy moenie net gee wat oorbly nie. Now I'm going to do all of this, and if there's anything left over, hierso Here, hierso is die oorblyfsels. God doesn't like playing second fiddle to anybody. doesn't want leftovers. He wants the best part, first fruit. What does it do? You think God needs your money? No. What he needs is our hearts trusting in him. You know what the purpose of tithes was, people? It was to teach God's people to always stay reminded that he is the source. Because he said to them, I'm taking you out of Egypt where there's slavery and bondage, and I'm giving you a land filled with milk and honey. There's going to be plenty. And I know the human heart. The human heart will quickly forget where they come from and quickly forget me and quickly forget I'm the source. That's why tithes are there. Not because God needs the money that he's entrusted you with. He owns everything, man. He owns everything, including our breath and our heartbeats. Tithing is to teach us and remind us he is the source. It just so happens that there's huge blessings that come with tithing and offering and being givers by nature. You know that one of the 9 spiritual gifts is giving? It's a spiritual gift. Giving. So it's not one of the 9. It is a spiritual gift, giving. Some people they're just anointed to give. They're always thinking about giving other people. I'm married to somebody like that. Hallelujah. God knew that I'd be a needy man. He said, send Colette to me. Just more people should have laughed, but it's just, okay. So that's how. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Money plays a critical role in this worldly system. It plays a critical role. Okay? People often misquote this. They say, money is the root of all evil. Have you heard that before? It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Church, let me ask you this. If you need money, does it mean you love money? Near money. As spiritual as we want to be, we cannot make a kingdom impact on this planet without finances. Did you get that? So geestelik as wat jy dink ons kan wees, ons gaan nie 'n goddelike impak kan maak vir die koninkryk van God as dit nie vir geld is nie. Die stelsel waarin ons onsself bevind, we're in the system, not part of the system. Okay, we're in the system, needs money. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 19. Dis prediker, né? Nie spreuke, prediker. Ecclesiastes. A feast is made for laughter and wine makes merry, but money answers everything. Jo. The Bible says so. There, in this worldly system, money answers everything. Just sit there for a moment and take a few moments to think about your dreams right now. What's stopping them? I'll just leave that there with you. I'll leave that there with you. You see, folks, God wants us to be at a place where we don't have to work for our money. You think, oh, dit klink lekker. Ek hoef nie te werk vir my geld nie. God wants you to be at the place where your money works for you. That's what happened when he multiplied the loaves of bread and the fish. That was working for them. When they were distributing it, if you read carefully, some people teach that when Jesus took the loaves and the fish, prayed over it, gave it to the disciples. The scripture says the disciples gave it to the multitudes. So some people teach that it was multiplied in the hands of the disciples, not in the hands of Jesus. Why? His blessing was upon it. I'm getting wunderflesh now. His blessing was upon it. They were being obedient and the miraculous happened. So, ons kan of ons bes probeer to make ons boere plan, of soos die Engelsman sê, I am the plan, or we can give it to God and watch him do the impossible. What are you going to do? Try and keep it here and make a plan? Or entrust it to the Lord and watch him do the impossible? So, if money answers everything, God wants us to be at a place where our money works for us instead of us having to work for our money. The idea is this, folks. I don't want to get too deep into this, but when the Adamic curse came upon people, it says that we're going to earn a living by the sweat of our brow and the toiling in the soil, and women will experience pain during childbirth. But because we brought out from under the curse, because Jesus became cursed for us, the scripture says, cursed is anyone who hangs on the tree. We no longer have to go to work, and it doesn't have to be a grind, but it can be a blessing so that we can work to have something to give to others. What a huge difference. Nou moet ek werk toe gaan, because die bills moet betaal word. Instead of van, I'm going, I make a positive contribution to the church, to society, because the hard work that I do is unto the Lord and I have to give to others. There's a huge difference in that. So, if money answers everything, and the challenge is that this world's money system is cursed. What does it mean when we say that the world's money system is cursed? What does it mean? By cursed, we mean that there's continuous loss, shrinkage, and diminishing returns. It's like putting your money in a bag that has a hole in it. You work, and you're putting it in, and you're putting it in as a hole. And as you're going, it's just leaving this trail of shrinkage, loss, destruction, theft. How many of you in business context experience shrinkage and loss where people, la bestelio, left and right, pal? You ons believed it. So how do you come out from under that? By submitting it to the Lord and letting the Lord take care of the rest so that there's no diminishing returns. Like I said, there's a curse on this world financial system. 1 John 5 and verse 19. We know that we are children of God and the world around us is under the control of the evil one. The world around us is under the control of the evil one. The best we can do is to commit what we have into the Lord's hands, like the loaves of bread and the fishes. Now, there are many reasons, but today I'm just going to touch on three. Three reasons why we don't honor God with our finances, just quickly. Three reasons why we don't honor God with our finances. And then we're going to look at scriptures to set us free of that stuff. Three reasons: fear, unbelief, and discipline. We're afraid that if we give God first, we won't have enough left. If we return His tithes to Him or bring our offerings. We're afraid, if you're honest with yourself, you might be afraid that you're not going to have enough if you honor God financially. That's the first point, first reason. There's several. We're just going to do three. The second reason is unbelief. We just don't believe that God is able to do what He says He can do. Lord, how is it? The expenditure is X amount. And the income is X amount. And then you still require me to give back to you your... No, Lord. They didn't teach me that at maths at school. That maak net nie sin op papier nie. It's because of unbelief. We just don't believe that God is able to do what He says He can do. And the third point is disobedience. You know what the scripture says? You know other people's testimonies. We've seen it in this church where we've seen people's lives changed forever completely. Because they say, Lord, I'm going to trust You, I'm going to obey, and they honor God financially, and their lives are never the same again. People say, well, Mozzie, I've got nothing to give. Well, you've got something. Do you have a cell phone? You've got something to give. Do you buy, don't put your hands now, a single cigarette? Some people can't afford a pack of smokes. They've got to buy something. The scripture says, God says, let none appear before Me empty-handed. Everybody has something. You say, well, Ozzy, how do I tithe on a rand? 10 cents. How do I tithe on 10 bucks? 1 rand. How do I tithe on 100 bucks? 10 rand. Can you see where we're going with this? Everybody has something to give. If we're not faithful with the small things, if you're not faithful with the 10 bucks, God's not going to give you 100. He just ain't going to do it. So, fear, unbelief, and disobedience. Sometimes we know what the scripture says, we know it's the right thing to do, but we just refuse point blank to do it. We've got all these reasons, and I'm not going to because of that. Carry on with that. So, Malachi 3 and verse 10, hierdie tekst says, moeg gepreek en moeg gedeel met die offerande hierso. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there'll be enough food in My temple. If you do so, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great that you won't have enough room to take it in. God says, try it. Put Me to the test. And in Luke, when it speaks about this, Gospel of Luke says, honor the Lord like this and do your offerings and return God's tithes to Him. And it says, all men will return to you. A double measure, pressed down, shaken together, will men pour into your bosom, that you will not have room enough to store it. Okay. If that's what the Bible says, how many of us are at the place where we're saying, God, Please stop blessing me. I've got too much finances, Lord. Stop it. I've got no more bank accounts to put it in. Please stop blessing me, Lord. The scripture says that when we do this right, we will not have enough room to store it all. So you know what we often do? We get an increase in our container, and what do? We increase the size of our container instead of letting it overflow. Then we get a blessing, the blessing grows. What do? We increase the size of our container, and then it doesn't over, and so it goes on. It's okay to do that. It's okay because I have this philosophy in life, and I'm convinced it's a kingdom principle. Nothing is ever so good that there's no room for improvement. Isn't the whole gospel program about improvement? Wie kan met my stry? The whole gospel program is about improvement. So if you're improving things, that's fine. But there also comes a time in our life that when the overflow comes, that we can then be a blessing to other people. Does that make sense, people? I pray that there's a shift in our heart taking place as we meditate on these things like this. God says, put me to the test. Try me. It's like he's saying, I challenge you. Watch what I will do. So what scripture can we share to deal with the fear, the unbelief, and the disobedience? 2 Corinthians 9, a couple of verses, from verse 7 to 10. 2 Corinthians 9, we're almost done. A few more scriptures and we're done. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. Ja, daar preek hulle alweer daaroor. Hy dan weer so gesê, so kom ek doen dit maar. Of daar's 'n vloek op my finansies, ek wil die vloek breek. Let it not be because we want a curse broken on the money system of the world, but rather, Lord, I'm so thankful. I want to worship you, and this is how I want to do it, Lord. You must decide in your own heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Verse 8. Then you will always, everybody say always, have everything you need. It mentions nothing about greed, just need. You'll always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Can you see that there's the principle again that God wants us to be contributors, not consumers, participators, not spectators. Always have everything you need, plenty left over to share with others. Verse 9, as the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. Verse 10, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. You cannot sow bread and you cannot eat seed. Shouldn't be. Bread is to meet your needs. Seed is to sow. So if that which you have is not meeting your needs, what does it mean? It's a seed that needs to be sown. Simple. It really is simple. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. So, we purpose in our hearts what to give with our offerings, but the tithe is God's. The tithe is the 10% of your increase, the 10% of all the first fruits, the 10% of your income. That's why in this church, we don't teach, I give my tithe to God. A person can't give you what is yours in the first place. You return God's tithe to him. That's not giving. Tithing is simple obedience. It's not giving. Offering, your free will offering, is the giving. There's this whole series that we've done on this, and perhaps we'll see where we go. We might go into the financial series again. It's always a challenge for me to speak about this, but be that as it may. So the offerings is your free will offering. That's what you give to charities and organizations and old age homes and in wherever. The tithe is God's. We purpose in our hearts what to offer, but the tithe, the 10%, belongs to God. These two are separate. You can't tithe your offering and you cannot offer your tithe. I'll say it again. Maybe I'll get one amen. You can't tithe your offering and you cannot offer your tithe. Close off by sharing the scripture again, what we started off with. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. The questions that we ask, do we value the fellowship that we have here on a weekly basis? Is it important to us? And are we willing to invest in it and keep it going? We deliberately left the taking up of the offering for this part of the service. So before the ushers come up and get ready to take up the offering, whatever your purpose in your heart to give into the offering today, whether it's 1 rand or, by the way, million is spelled M-I-L-L if you write, if you're doing deposits. Whatever your purpose in your heart, I want to pray this morning for each one of us. So take it out, your wallet or whatever, or hold it in your hand. Just do that together. Hold it in your hand. You're sitting here this morning and perhaps you're thinking, yo, Mozzie, you don't understand, I literally don't have anything. I want to say to you, there is a time that has come in the past where you've had something and you've been disobedient. And as sure as God has written His word, there's going to come a time where you're going to have something again. My brother, my sister, that's a test. So don't sit here and say, I've got nothing. You've had something. You were disobedient. God's going to give you something again. Be obedient. But if you're here this morning, you're blessed enough to have something, hold on to that something. And what we're going to do first and foremost is pray that God changes our hearts, that we change the way we think concerning finances. Then I'm going to pray that God sets people free of fear, disobedience, and unbelief. There we go. Thank you. I'm going to pray that God sets us free of fear, unbelief, and disobedience. Then I'm going to pray God's blessing on every person's obedience, for every person's income, that God supernaturally increases. And pray God's blessing on every business that is represented here this morning, whether you're the business owner or you're an employer or an employee. I'm going to pray that God blesses us. I'm going to pray that the financial curse that there may or may not be there is broken as you take steps of obedience this morning. I'm praying that this grows in our heart to the point that we can then go and teach others how to have financial freedom and independence from the world's monetary system. I'm going to pray that we can get to a place where the finances that He's entrusted us with works for us, instead of you having to go and slog and slave for your finances. Is that okay, church? So as we hold on to these finances this morning, let's just pray together. Father, we come to You in belief and faith this morning. Our faith is not in our faith. Our faith is in the living God who made the heavens and the earth. And Lord, You're our source of everything. You're the one who teaches us to generate wealth, the scripture says. Lord, You want us to be wealthy, not so that we can walk around fat cats greedy, but that we can be a blessing to others. You want Your children, Lord God, to have dominion over the resources that is in this world. That's who and how You've created us to be. As men and women sit in faith this morning, Lord God, the amount is irrelevant. The attitude of heart counts for everything. And You see our hearts. Father, we want to repent of fear and unbelief and disobedience. We ask that You forgive us. Would You replace fear with faith, and unbelief with faith, and disobedience with obedience, Lord? As we take steps of faith this morning, I pray, Lord God, that You, by Your grace, Holy Spirit, would You continue to teach this to us as Your people. That it's not just mere human words from somebody with a microphone waffling on for over half an hour, but that it changes our lives. As each person takes a step of obedience this morning, we thank You that You will open up the floodgates of heaven, like You say, and release such a blessing that we will not have room enough to contain it, that we can go and then be a blessing to others. Lord, we speak that scripture over ourselves this morning, saying that You will provide seed for the sower and bread for food, that You will provide so that we will always, in all things, have sufficiency for every good work and lack nothing. We thank You for that in the name of Jesus. We thank You for breakthrough in people's lives, Lord God, whether they're members of this church or not. The churches where they belong, that they are faithful there with their tithes and their offerings there where You've called them to be obedient. Those that you've called here, Lord God, that we would stay faithful and obedient. Lord, release a blessing upon every business owner here today. Give them wisdom and strategy, Lord God, how to navigate the challenges of financial management. Lord, we don't have the answers. You do. And that answer is placing you first. Pray your blessing upon every employer here this morning and every employee, every person that gives salaries, Lord God, and those that must receive salaries and wages, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that we can pray that you cancel fear, unbelief, and disobedience this morning in the name of Jesus. And as we sow into your kingdom, Lord, please help us to see that it's not giving of our finances to the church, but worshiping you with that which you've entrusted us with. And we thank you for that in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Church, sincerely from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for making the time to listen. Whether you listened to the whole lot, or I lost you 5 minutes into the sermon, or you fell asleep at minute number 17, bless you for being here. Anyway, I pray that somehow God will touch our lives and change us for the better with us. Also, the ushers, come up please and just send the offering helmets around and trust God for financial breakthrough and release this morning. Bless you guys. Thank you.